It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard throughout the tri-state area. Listen on the radio at kntrtalk.com and the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Norm was out on the casting call, who did Cheers turn to?
The Police!
When Mike Tyson became the youngest heavyweight champion in history and no sparring partners could be found, who did the champ turn to?
The Police!
Now, this world-renowned barfly slash pugilist has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul LaVoy!
Good morning, everybody. It's Monday, April 18th, 2022, and it would be my favorite day, except Jim's here. No.
Ooh, cheap shot.
I'm kidding. Anyway, how was your Easter?
Easter was fine, like all days I worked, and I think you did too, didn't you?
Well, Saturday, yes.
Oh, Saturday.
Saturday.
The band played?
Not here, but the band played on, yes, at Old Town Saloon Casino Drive in Laughlin.
Oh, cool.
We got to, a while back, when the Taste of Bullhead was happening, Larry Toonforce, who hosts Speak Out 2.0, organized an auction to benefit Kirk Tracy from the Kid and Nick band.
Uh-huh.
And Kirk has, a form of cancer. And
oh,
so, yeah, it's, and you know, medical bills pile up for people in that. So the bands in the area kind of got together, and separately we each offered a different package for the auction, as an auction item.
Uh-huh.
So the person that bought our package, the 4-hour show, at a $500 value, actually showed up with her parents at the gig, and we're going to play their 80th birthday party next February.
How cool.
In Bullhead City. So, yeah, that was fun. It was fun to meet everybody involved.
Well, how generous of you and your bandmates to donate.
Oh,
like
Kirk
that.
Is awesome. And you know, they would do the same for us. And, yeah, we love Kid and Nick, Nicole and Kirk, and the rest of the band. So, anyway, yeah, that was Saturday at Old Town. And just the added bonus was meeting the people that bought the auction package that we offered. So that
Very
was nice.
Good.
And I don't know, for those who are wondering, how much was raised in that. So if you want to call in and offer a side note on that, call in a little bit later in the show and we'll talk about it. So anyway, we have one of our favorite days on Monday because you get to speak Spanish.
Yes, El Día de los Dos Jefes.
Día de los or dos?
I'm not, well, de los dos. It's
los.
The two.
The two, okay.
It was a long weekend, right?
Yeah, right.
Perfect. And you can't say de la because they're guys, and that would be feminine, right? It's de los.
But that doesn't matter anymore.
De la.
That's right, we can't discriminate.
Oh, it would be de los. Yeah. All right, anyway, welcome to the show. You guys are cracking me up. Chief Dan Doyle and Chief Pete Palafis, otherwise known as Chief Pete.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And we can't play Bob Seger today because it was played so much in the previous hour. That would just, you know.
He was used up.
That would be an oversaturation of the Motor City. He's not the Motor City Madman. I'm not sure. That's Ted Nugent, right?
Ted Nugent.
Yeah, but the Motor City Ambassador, if you will, would be Bob Seger.
Mr. Cool.
Right. So just as a side note, this week starts the River Cities United Way annual Week of Caring. I think you were here when we talked about this, Jim. The Day of Caring is this Saturday, April 23rd, and all week long, River Cities United Way, Kingman Clean City Commission, and a couple of other Kingman organizations are encouraging families, local businesses, civic clubs, churches, and other groups to get involved in a friendly competition to create and share their own community caring project. And you want to go to rcuw.org/dayofcaring to learn more, or just give River Cities United Way a call here in Lake Havasu City, 928-855-6333. Again, that's rcuw.org, right?
Very good.
Thank you. Thank you. I can still read. Amazing, huh? And then today's Diamondbacks game, by the way, that was scheduled for 4:10 against the Washington Nationals, has already been postponed due to what CBS Sports calls inclement weather. And they already know. I mean, it's right 4:05 this afternoon, Arizona time, and they're calling it on account of rain.
Must be bad.
So it must be a bad storm. It's supposed to be rescheduled for tomorrow as part of a doubleheader. We have Suns basketball tomorrow night as well at 7 p.m. Suns did pretty well last night. They were up by 20 most of the game and ended up winning by 11. I think the line was 10.5. So they covered the spread against the Pelicans in game one, first game of the playoffs. So there you go. Right? CP3 had 30 points. You follow the Suns at all, Chief?
Not much.
Not so much?
Not so much.
Not
so
no?
Much.
You a Bulls fan?
No, not a Bulls fan.
No? Used to be?
I used to be in the 90s.
Everybody used to be.
Yeah.
When it was Scotty and Michael Jordan, right?
Yeah, it's just...
Horace Grant?
Yeah, it's... I spend a lot of... Well, try to spend time with the kids and, you know, enjoy the outside with them, so.
Right. Cartwright at center, B.J. Armstrong hitting the threes all day long.
Well, that was the golden team.
That was a great team.
That was an awesome team.
Yeah, it was. I worked for an affiliate, a radio affiliate of the Chicago Bulls back in the day. Yeah, so it was tough, though, the year that they beat the Suns in the finals. So that was a tough conflict for me. Anyway, let's talk about, we talked a little bit about this last month, I think, but what's the status, Chief, on the federal money to upgrade the police facility?
We're still waiting on it.
Waiting on the money?
Yeah.
The checks still, in the mail?
Yes, that's the federal government. They were waiting until after tax day to see how much they collected. And we're still waiting on it. It supposedly looks good. We are designated to get $1.7 million. Okay. Towards refurbishment at the police department, so we're still waiting to kind of see what the how that sorts out.
I can remember when $1.7 million was a lot of money.
Oh gosh, that was a long time
was.
Ago, Jim.
That
still was, long, still is to me.
Yeah, time ago. That's a couple tanks of gas now.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Now it's barely an average new house and fill up your
little,
gas tank.
A little fixer upper.
A couple tanks of gas. Doesn't that require a promissory note now?
Yeah, or a second. Yeah.
Especially for your rigs, right?
Yeah.
You were telling that story before the show.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just surprising when you deal in any quantity at any time. You know, I was saying before the show, we have a small fuel trailer that we, you know, keep our generators and light towers and things running at events. And it's a normal thing to send it out with the guys to take it to a gas station, refill it after an event or two. And I was doing that last week and... Well, the guy said, you know, that's $1,000. Whoa! $1,000?
Is there a limit on the gallons that you can purchase?
No limit? Not that I've seen.
Because there was for a while. I heard
that was
that.
Just your credit card. Yeah.
No. I have a friend in the trucking industry, and he was telling me that a lot of the truckers, they were limited on fuel that would only get them about 400 or 500 miles.
Wow.
It was during the pandemic, yeah.
Yeah, that would make the trip kind of rough with all those stops to get fuel.
Right. And most drivers can do that 400 miles in 8 hours easily, right, on their limit that they have to drive every day, I would imagine.
Good heavens, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So what is included? We get back to those improvements, the upgrades at the police facility. What's included here?
So a good portion of it is our HVAC system. It's old. It's a interesting system with chillers and cooling towers. It actually has, we have like 46 units throughout the building that are that are basically serviced by these cooling towers that are out in our maintenance facility. And the cooling towers were replaced over 10 years ago, and it's just time for refurbishing the whole system. So we're having all kinds of difficulty where we didn't have heat for a while in the winter, and in the summer we sometimes don't have
cooling.
Air cooling, yeah. So it's that. Jail doors, all our locks and mechanisms for our jail doors and our jail facility. Plumbing.
Wait a minute. So if you lock me up, there's a chance I may not be able to get out?
Because it may not be locked.
Because of faulty locks?
Yeah, yeah. We've had a few people stuck in there for a few months now. We just extend the sentence if we can't get the door open.
Nice.
They're banking time.
Nice.
Yeah, no, it's just a time to upgrade everything and replace it.
I got you.
All the electric doors, the rollers, and the whole bit, as well as plumbing. And then we have flooring. And some other things, interior items, electrical stuff that need to be updated. So a lot of work.
Chief Pete, you've got a whole bunch of buildings.
Yeah, I was just going to ask that question.
The thing is, we
he just stole my question. Yeah. Nice job.
Yeah. So as a city, I mean, the fire stations are just an asset of the city as a whole. Uh-huh. So just like Dan's having some maintenance issues, we also are having some maintenance, just common problems that, you know, if you just take care of your house, you're going to have.
Right.
But the thing is, these facilities, the police and fire are open 365, 24 hours a day. So they obviously operate all the time. And we're going through, hopefully with our budget process, a property condition assessment to have a plan to look at what needs to be taken care of to maintain these stations. And on one of the capital projects, they have station 5 in that mix to be replaced. So it's just, you know, time, money, and right timing.
How many stations do you have?
We have 6, and then we have the administration, which we're out of City Hall. So that's the fire admin aspect of it, too. But a total of 6 fire stations.
And one whole station needs to be replaced?
Well, down the road, it's one of the original stations here in Havasu.
You buy new property and
our study, and we're getting through the process of our study where it's going to help out with location, the correct location for the growth of Lake Havasu and the service demand. So that's what we're looking at, and hopefully that'll be wrapped up around August, September of this year, where we'll have a final report of where the proper station locations should be for the future of Havasu.
I have an idea. It's kind of out of the box.
Sure.
So, you know, when it comes time to get a new building, take the old building and torch it and use it for training.
Yeah, no.
That would be safe.
Yeah.
He did say yes first.
Yeah, that would be safe. He said yes sarcastically.
Oh, I see. Like, yeah, no.
Yeah, no.
No, a great idea, but no.
Well, and I think you tell him that, you know, Station 5 is the one original one down on Lake Havasu Avenue.
Yeah.
That place is old.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Right. So, plus, it's right next to the United Way offices.
Right. Well, yeah, it's connected. That was built in 1968. The average lifespan, or not, I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. The average life of our buildings when they were built is about 37 years old. So the newest one is Station 1, where that was built in the 2000s. So the thing is, it just, again, just with anything, it just requires maintenance and taking care of it.
Interesting.
Yeah. Some of this funding that the Chief Dan has found, is that available for our fire buildings too, or is that a
no?
I didn't mean your particular money.
Senator Kelly said no.
You know what? I mean, there are opportunities that I haven't seen for fire station improvements. They do have grants out there, and I hope they come back, which assisted with station and facility infrastructure. So, I mean, we're always looking for opportunities to take that burden off the taxpayer. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it comes from all of us.
And sure. One of the things that the reason this got directed towards the police department is we had just finished a facility assessment on the PD when they got notified of this grant, but they wanted something ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
And so the city had just completed this and said, here's a project where we could specifically identify. It was $4 million total. And that's where we got the 1.7.
So do you have to spend the 4 to get the 1.7?
No. It's that we get the 1.7. We're going to do 1.7.
I see.
Of thing, and then, you know, hopefully we come up with a fund somewhere else.
So do the HVAC improvements, does that include anything to do with insulation or making the building a little bit more energy efficient since you're doing the upgrade on the HVAC?
You know, we've been doing a lot of that with the improvements with, you know, with electricity and all those things. But
sure, LED,
Yeah, I mean, but as far as, like, improving the insulation of the facility, there's no plans for that. I mean, we've repaired the roof, and the way the facility is built is, it's just really not something that was identified as an option.
No, that makes sense.
But who knows how much with what HVAC is costing, because I think the HVAC for the aquatic center was neighborhood of $2 million.
My sister just did an HVAC replacement on a 4-ton unit that was residential, and it was upwards of $10,000.
Yeah. So it's going to be expensive just for the HVAC.
And they said do it now because the price is going up. Crazy, isn't it? All right, we'll be back with more in a moment. Chief Dan Doyle, Chief People Officer, here on our Dia de la Los. No, wait a minute.
Los dos jefes.
Dia de los dos jefes. Thank you, Jim.
Si.
Our interpreter of the day. And the choice of the day from Chief Doyle, anyway, is Eric Clapton. We couldn't revisit the Bob Seger, as we said earlier. So no more thinking about the old pickup truck, right, Chief?
Yep.
Or I came up with an AKA for you, you know, on the locks issue when you talked about extended sentences and that. We call you Vladimir.
Oh, hey, thanks.
You have better hair, though.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out. We're back on Speak Out. Man, the conversations that go on off the air, Jim.
Yes.
Good stuff.
And very clever.
Insightful. Insightful, for sure. Speak Out brought to you in part by the team at Mojave Mortgage, also Patio Paradise, SamsGuns.com, Bradley Chevrolet, Springbird Wealth Management, and by the Lewis team, Remax by the Lake, with team leader Bobby Lewis and Julie Lewis.
Yes, they're good folks all. Give them a shot at your business, folks. Shop local, and when you do, tell them you heard about them here on Speak Out.
That's right. Some of the smartest business owners in the area, right?
Very good. If they spend their money, their advertising money here with us, you know they're clever.
That's right. Wow.
That was smooth.
Thank you.
And we're so clever, one of the hosts way back was Clever Lee, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes, Steve Clever Lee.
You remember that?
I remember. Steve.
All right,
he was a council member.
Yes,
he was.
And he had, unique to him, was his knowledge of minutiae of Havasu.
Mm-hmm. Really?
There would hardly be a thing that would come up that he wouldn't say, oh, yeah, well, so-and-so did that because of such-and-such. It was always educational and amazing with Steve Cleverly.
Oh, interesting.
Not that it isn't with you, of course, Paul.
I know a little bit about a lot of stuff.
Speaking of minutia.
You were about to try to say minutia, weren't you?
Yeah. Perfect. So, all right, I want to talk about this ordinance that we had back, I don't know, 90 days, 120 days. It's been a few months. The C-scale ordinance with the low bass tones and that. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if you heard over the weekend there was a shooting at one of these rental properties, the seasonal Verbo or one of those in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Right? And it was teenagers and that, and the music's loud, and they get into it and that. I mean, one of the hazards, obviously, of that type of rental property is a lot of people getting together and just add alcohol.
Yeah, and
or
I saw that, the original renter of the property was, his punishment was he's banned for life from that online rental organization.
Oh.
Heck, he's probably dead from the shootings.
Yeah, that's probably the least of his worries right now.
Yeah, right.
But has this ordinance, have we had any enforcement of this ordinance lately?
As far as being cited on the C scale, I'd have to go back and look, see if we've had any citations specific to the C scale. But typically just what I see is a noise ordinance violation. But it's a help in that... Previous to that, when we didn't measure the C scale, the bass wasn't adequately factored into it, and that's kind of what really gets people the most is because that bass just reverberates through houses and
makes the windows shake.
You know, I live on a major street, and vehicles driving by don't bother me. I don't hear anything, but every so often you hear them coming way up and you hear the bass and you hear that thumping coming as it gets louder and louder and then down the street. And a lot of times that's what disturbs people is that. So it's another tool in our toolbox to be able to deal with it, especially with our vacation rentals. Still a problem that the city's been trying desperately to attempt. And that's just a whole other topic in and of itself of the state taking away the city's ability to regulate vacation rentals, all the cities in the state. And our mayor and city manager have been battling that out with the state and attempting to get legislation in to allow us to regulate these again. And it's just been having trouble making progress with that.
So. We have a pickup truck that, or an SUV, I think it's an Explorer or an Expedition that drives by every day about 5 or 5:15 and just rattles this building, you know? Yeah, I think they come to pick up somebody that works at one of the neighboring buildings. But, yeah, that's a gimme, right? I just gave you a perfect citation, you know?
Yeah.
No, I mean, it rattles from over at Wheeler Park.
Oh, yeah.
And then you know they're coming.
Yeah. So now just think about having that in a vacation rental next to your house, especially, you know, at midnight when you're trying to sleep and you've got that firing off. Mm. So we have all our decimeters and we have the ability to show up and take those readings and issue the appropriate citations and get the people to shut down when necessary. But the bigger picture of that is we really need to get the state to give the authority back to basically give the city's authority back to regulate vacation rentals within their city which we were so successful with it when we had our ordinance previously. Our local property managers worked very closely with us. It was super successful. And then when they eliminated that ability, it's gotten out of hand.
It really has, statewide, nationwide even.
So what got removed?
So we had abilities to, you had to have a local contact person. You had to notify surrounding neighbors. You had to register with the city. You had to do all these things that allowed us to control. You could only have so many people in the house per room. A lot of restrictions on it that basically protected the neighbors. And the great thing about it is our local property managers, because at the time, the majority of them were being managed through local property management companies. Mm-hmm. And the advantage to that was we worked very closely with our local property managers who were fantastic. And that was the big success of it, was they were really controlling these properties and staying on top of them. And then what happened is now all of a sudden, probably the majority of the vacation rentals are not through our local property managers. Right. They're just somebody in California, Washington, some other state. They buy the house here, they throw it up on some website, and the people are coming and going, and there might not be a local contact person. And the neighbors don't have any recourse to contact the property owner, and there's just no responsible person here in Lake Havasu City for that property. So, who do you hold accountable? And now we got to go to try to locate this owner. Now, the state does require that they have TPT, they pay TPT tax, and that they are registered through the state. So, we're working on a mechanism to try to make sure that that's happening. And stay on top of it. But there are so many vacation rentals in this town. I mean, virtually the short-term rentals have sucked up the entire rental market.
Yep.
And so it's a huge, huge issue to stay on top of that really affects our permanent residents. And I sympathize with the people because I'm very fortunate that all my neighbors happen to be retired around me, but I don't have a vacation rental around me, but I actually have friends that end up with a vacation rental next to them,
right.
And it gets to be really tiresome for them.
So, Chief Pete, I moved back to Havasu right before this happened. It was a couple of years ago, this month, as a matter of fact, and had a little bit of a problem finding what I wanted. What about you when you located here from Illinois?
I have to say I was very fortunate.
Same here.
Very fortunate to come during the time, during, you know, the pandemic, and just having the choice of just listening to all the individuals that have been here working here in the city is, I remember my wife and I were talking about renting, and we were just like, nope, we need to purchase something. It'll pay off. And it was a little bit of a struggle. The inventory was a lot higher. The prices were slightly reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's just 2 years ago.
Yeah, and yeah. I'm very, very fortunate. I mean, very fortunate to be here and during the time. So it worked out well. Yeah.
Right.
So, and I live by Dan. So.
Yes, he lives close.
Oh, so sorry.
We live on the good side of town.
Really?
Yeah. Actually, that's the nice thing about Havasu is everything's the good side of town.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And I do want to say, add to the caveat that we still enjoy our local rentals that are managed by our local property managers. Those work out really well.
Absolutely.
So they do a great job there, but it's the ones that have no contact with Lake Havasu City that are difficult.
Yeah, I would concur.
Yep.
I definitely would concur. All right, you're listening to Speak Out. We have Chief Dan Doyle, Chief Pete Palafis in the studio. It's our First Responders Day. I haven't learned to say that in Spanish yet.
I'm not sure you can.
Dia de los dos jefes.
Si.
Right?
Si.
All right. Along with Brother Jim Russell, I'm Paul Lavoie. Speak Out will continue. Here's some more Eric Clapton. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
But you know I'm here. Yeah.
We're back on Speak Out. I'm Paul Lavoie, along with Brother Jim Russell.
Yes.
Who is not a jefe.
No, that's right.
You're a jefe at DSM Events,
yeah.
Right?
In my own mind.
Exactly. Brought to you. Uh-oh. Somebody's talking off mic. What was that, Chief?
I said he's the jefe.
Yes, that's right.
Jefe?
Jefe.
That's it? He ain't jefe? He's my brother. Speak Out brought to you in part by Horizon Community Bank. Also, Mojave Community College, GDK LLC, SunPower by Esme Electric. My favorite word used twice and differentiated by an apostrophe? Herbs?
Herbs.
There you go.
Yes.
And I know Chief Pete knew it, right? Because GP's a loyal listener.
I am a loyal listener.
He is.
He just wasn't paying attention.
No. Well, actually, he was. He actually knew.
Huh? It moves faster.
It does. It's a.
But GP, unlike some people, actually knew that our frequency moved from 106.3 to 106.7 mm-hmm. in Lake Havasu City. Right?
And you can also get them online.
Yeah, very good.
KNTRtalk.com. Mm-hmm. All right. We're also brought to you by Thane O'Brien with Spot On. Give Thane the Lonely Guy a call, 928-706-2784, or send an email to T. O'Brien with an E at spoton.com. Why is he so lonely?
Why is he so because he's the Maytag man?
Kinda. He's like the Maytag man of the point-of-sale industry because Spot On's so dang dependable.
Very good.
That's exactly right, Jim.
Yes.
That's why you're a great co-host.
More good folks to do business with right here in Havasu.
Now we just got to teach him to laugh like Ed McMahon.
Perfect. He's got that chuckle down. He's got the greatest radio voice next to you. Paul.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you have to say that.
Yeah.
Your mic could get real quiet.
Cuts you off.
Mute. Yeah, we have buttons for that. Exactly. All right. So a lot of spring cleaning going on. Hazardous waste collection events happening. I know.
December.
In December? Is that the next one?
Yeah. So we just had one. And we do it annually. And we've been doing it for the last 2 years with our disposal services, Republican. Republic.
Republic. No worries.
So
you didn't reveal anything.
No, I didn't reveal anything. But we for the last 2 years, we've been having it at Station 2, and it's in our contract with them to continue that, and it's a great program.
So with that, what are some of the things why do we have those events? What's the danger of having some of those things, even though they're used up in your, stored in your garage?
Yeah, I think the danger is this improper disposal of hazardous waste and just not waiting for that to occur. And, I mean, let's just be honest. We just get impatient, and we want the stuff gone now, even though it's been sitting there for, depending on the person, for a couple months or a couple years. So the thing is, I think just the most important thing is to reduce fires, reduce hazards, and just reduce the impacts that it has on our environment is to make sure you dispose of those, like paints, gasoline, oil, in a proper way. And
right.
That's why we have those events.
And you have paint thinner, turpentine, and paint, and
oil rags, tires.
How serious can a house fire get when it starts in the garage and you have those accelerants?
Sure, that's what it all is all accelerants and a source of fuel to just feed the fire. So it just making sure that they're properly disposed of.
Okay.
I think that's a key. And making sure, we had the incident, let's say about a month ago over at the recycling plant. It happens, and it could happen more frequently if people just don't dispose of hazardous waste correctly.
Oh, that makes sense. So this is something that both of you can weigh in on with fuel prices, and it's kind of extended now. We thought, maybe it would peak and then come down by now, especially in a couple months. Is this impacting budgets at all, fire and police budgets?
Yeah, I think, I don't know if we brought it up in the last show, but our first, we took a tanker of 8,500 gallons. We refilled our fuel station at the PD in February, in January, and then in March we took another tanker, 500 gallons less, but it cost us $12,000 more.
Whoa.
So, and by buying it by the tanker, we're getting a cheaper per gallon rate than you would get at the gas station, and it's still, we're seeing heavy increases. So you imagine that pretty much blows through the fuel budget pretty quick.
Does that cut into operations as well, your operations budget, or not?
Well, it's all part of the operations budget. So but we do budget contingency funds for the city, and then, we have the ability to do budget transfers. So, this is impacting citywide. I mean, this is the entire city fleet is now paying these high prices for fuel. And actually, fire department, you think gassing up those big trucks and same thing for our heavy equipment with the city. So, it's just blowing the budget up, fuel as well as supplies, everything.
Right, right.
Everything is so drastic.
What about the other things, Chief Pete, that are related to gasoline, like your oil or hydraulic fluid, anything, you know, like that? Is that pretty much the same? Prices all going up?
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, we feel it just like you feel it in your own pocket. You know, the supply issues and just the length of time to get equipment. I mean, we're still waiting on vehicles that we ordered 6 months ago. I mean, that's just a prime example. Or just like turnout gear. I mean, we ordered that over a year ago, and we still haven't received it, and we're projected to receive it in August. So I think as the city, we just like your household, we're feeling the same price and just still staying fiscally responsible. But what happens is our purchasing power just gets lower quantity because this is what we budgeted for, and that's when we go to budgets looking at other things and bringing that up because the cost of doing business has increased, and I think we can all see it.
Well, and you obviously can't say, gee, we can't respond to that call because we don't have any diesel in our engines.
Mm-hmm. So no, we can't.
It just has to continue deficit spending like the rest of the world.
Right, right, right. All right, our phone lines are open, by the way, 928-854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. And there's been so many incidents lately, Chief Doyle, where outside agencies are coming in to investigate OIS, you know, with Lake Havasu City PD, or you're investigating this from Mojave County Sheriff or Bullhead City Police. So tell us about those situations as they apply to different – when are you brought in?
So any situation involving deadly force. So when we say OIS, that's an officer-involved shooting. Mm-hmm. But their standard within our county with all our agencies is any use of deadly force, it doesn't have to be a shooting, any use of deadly force is we have another agency come in and do that. And there's a number of reasons for that. A big reason is typically the agency that had the, say, let's take a shooting, for example, the agency dealing with that is dealing with traumatized employees, and it just helps out to have another agency come in, impartial, conduct the investigation, and then we can focus on crisis intervention for our employees and their health and well-being and those type of things. So there's two investigations that occur in any type of use of deadly force. There's the what you call the criminal investigation. Outside agency comes in and conducts that investigation, and then they coordinate with the county attorney's office on that. And then there's an administrative investigation, which we then do internally, which our, say, our professional standards unit actually conducts that. And that's looking at were any of our policies violated. And they look at everything from policy issues to training, and then they compile a report that on any of those specific issues. So, and it has been very busy. We've had so many instances going on in the county of, you know, with officers being shot.
You had one that was started as a suicide by a cop, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just crazy. I mean, our last one here that we had over on the south side, we actually called Bullhead. Bullhead sent their investigators down to assist us with that. And while their detectives were down here, no sooner they got here than they had a homicide in Bullhead City.
Wow.
So, you know, everybody works in really to help each other out to actually get the personnel where they need to be. But everybody's detective units are extremely busy, and we've had so many instances going in Mojave County here lately.
So who helps with the potential for PTSD in your officers? Is that done in-house, or do you go to outside agency?
Both. Well, to not another law enforcement agency, but we have a peer support team that we utilize to assist, but we also have employee assistance programs. And then when we have an officer involved in the use of deadly force, we also have a out-of-town psychologist that we send them to that they go and they get sessions with. And if they need follow-up, that's a resource for them. so whatever it takes to help them deal with the situation, it's very difficult, and you don't hear this side of it too much on the news when they talk about it.
No, you don't. Very fascinating.
But being involved in a deadly force incident, especially when an officer has employed deadly force, is a very traumatic situation, an event on the officer's family, from their spouse, their children, and it's not a normal thing, to take the life of another. And I think sometimes you see in the media, they portray it as something like, hey, we get another notch carved into our gun. It's the exact opposite. No officer wants to have anything to do with that. They don't want to have to go through that. And it's traumatic, and it causes a lot of trauma to the officer and their family.
Well, not only that, it's preventable. In a recent case, I don't remember, the suspect was running away, got shot, but you don't confront police officers. When a policeman tells you or gives you a command, you follow the command. There's a really easy way around this, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's situations where officers make a bad call on the use of force, and 99 times out of 100 it was a bad call. It wasn't malicious, it was just a bad call. But any combat veteran that's been in combat will tell you it's a messy situation. It's not like in the movies. It's messy. When you have a police officer that, when they get into these situations, they're trying not to die. That's the thing, is that when you're faced with that, there's a lot of things going on, and no matter how much training you've had, when you're trying to prevent somebody from killing you, and mm-hmm. it's traumatic.
Sure.
We have a team that works, a peer support team that works with them. We actually are in the process of, we are applying for a grant through the Department of Justice to provide monies for additional training and resources for that specifically, for that peer support and mental health team. So, we take it very seriously, and I know the fire department has the same type of team for them, because they go through the same type of thing when they deal with these traumatic situations.
So I was going to ask you about that, Chief Pete. With the felony arson, there was just somebody that was sentenced out of Tuba City to a life in jail or a life in prison sentence for a felony arson where there was a homicide involved, intentionally killing someone in a house fire after an assault. Mm-hmm. Is that something that would be investigated by the agency that responded to the fire, or would you send it outside?
Well, the thing is, it'd be a combination. We would work side by side with the police and any other agency that is required. But it's a combination, because it's not only the arson, it's the crime and fatality due to the fire. So it would be a collaboration between PD and fire to make sure that gets investigated correctly and properly. So,
does your department fund its own arson investigation?
So we have a fire investigators. We work closely with the PD, because they have the peace power to basically either do a warrant or arrest for arson. So again, side by side with us, we don't have arson investigators. We have fire investigators along with the PD,
right,
that help us with the arson part of it and the peace officer portion.
Yeah, and
of
we
it.
Had an alleged serial arsonist lately. So in the past year.
Well, it was April of last.
Right.
Last year.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. So and that's a fascinating field, by the way, for anyone who wants to get into that. I'm sure the technology is ever evolving on how to find the source of a fire.
Yeah, I guess it just depends on what, obviously what's left of the scene. If the building is lost, it just gets more and more difficult. But it definitely assists us, technology, but also just understanding fire behavior, investigation. And we have specific individuals that go to specialized school for that, which is fascinating.
It really is.
Yeah. Do I recall correctly that you have some fire instruction courses now at MCS?
Well, the thing is, we have our CTE program that is for intro to fire at the high school, and then MCC has their own fire service program, or your associate's degree in fire science. Mm-hmm. So,
looking at your watch.
No, I just, you were cueing us with the music.
Yeah, so. Exactly. That's the point, right?
Yeah.
So where's lunch today, gentlemen?
Secret.
Yeah.
Perfect. Chief Dan Doyle and Chief People Office, thanks so much for being here again month. Yes. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I don't think you're going to be saved by a holiday next month. I think that's the week after. So
yeah.
We'll see you next month.
Absolutely.
Sounds
Thank
great.
You for having us.
Thanks
All
for
right,
having
perfect.
Us.
All right, perfect. Jim?
See you tomorrow.
You want to come back? Or?
Yeah.
All right, let's do that.
Okay.
See what a great director he is? All right.
Making decisions all the time.
Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. I'm Paul LaVore. That, Jim, is why they call him Slow Hand, Eric Clapton. So we have two guests on tap tomorrow. First half of the show, we'll have State Representative candidate Donna McCoy, who's a former Lake Havasu City Council member. And then you're bringing in, we're going to have Jim again tomorrow.
Yes. This is your lucky week.
But it's Desert Storm Week.
It is Desert Storm Week, and we'll have the pleasure of having Christina Nichols, of the... Nichols family who produced Desert Storm. She'll tell us all about it.
We like the word team, the Nichols team.
Yes.
I'd be interested to know if the fuel prices are going to have an impact on the big boats. I would suspect the answer is no.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of money in that game anyway.
Yeah, that would be my suspicion too. But Christina probably can tell us.
Right, right. All right, coming up next is Hannity, of course, Karate Man, Sean Hannity, after news and a short break. Jim, we'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
And we'll see everybody else tomorrow as well. 11 a.m., Monday through Friday, all year round on Speak Out.
This is KNTR Talk, AJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM and 106.3, the voice of the free.